Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Hollering, Steve Frampton, Brenda McCoy, and Bobby Marcheso. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Psychic Access Talk Radio. And tonight we are very happy to say we have a very interesting gentleman called Dr. Goldberg, and he will be talking about psychic defense. And it will be a fantastic show. We also have Stephen, which is joining us for the first time. So it will be his first time, so everybody, you know, be good, nice to him. So before we get started with that, I would like to ask Brenda. Hi.
Yes, my dear.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm looking forward to this because this is a subject that we don't cover hardly at all. And I think it's important to remember.
Absolutely. In fact, I don't think we've had
to learn.
Yes, always. And I don't feel that we've had this particular one, psychic vampires, but not this one. Well, Brenda, could you tell everybody who are you? What are you? Where are you from? What do you do?
Let's see what my past life is. No, I work for Psychic Access, like all you lovely people. And I read the tarot and the crystal ball and the playing cards. And I'm a predictive psychic. I specialize in dates, times, and places, and I'm glad to be here.
And you do a very good job with your very good at your. Everybody hear me now? I say it every time. You're really good at your.
Oh, thank you. It looks like we have Stephen coming.
Yeah, I just saw Stephen. Sure.
Yay.
Hi, Stephen. And I did tell people, Stephen. Hi, welcome, Stephen, to our
thank
first
you.
Show. With okay, so I already started the intro with, and then you can ask. Whoever you want, like me. Who am I? What do I do? And I won't tell you.
Oh, well, see, there's a bit of a conundrum here. We're all psychic.
We
have the answer to these questions. I don't know what precise, for example, what method you use, or are you a tarot reader? Or
I'm just a girl that does dishes and you know, cleans house and stuff like that. Oh, I can hear you. Okay. Anyway, Steve. Okay. So, Stephen, what I do, I work for I work at PsychicAccess.com with the rest of these lovely co-hosts that we all are here together, and I'm an intuitive empath psychic. Consultant, and I feel the tarot is, I'm very well versed in the tarot. I'm self-taught, and I feel the tarot is a symbolic record of human experience, and so I utilize that. And I don't need to, but I am happy with the work I'm doing. Thank you.
Very nice.
And Steve, I think, is the last person who hasn't been out for years because you didn't know you weren't here. So you have to ask Steve the same thing.
Ah, yes. Mr. Frampton, Steve, how are you this evening, sir?
I'm very well, thank you, Stephen. Happy to be here. I'm looking forward to your first show. Sounds great.
I am as well. Steve and I share a lot of the same occult beliefs, and it's a pleasure to be working with him tonight and a pleasure to be working with you and Brenda as well. I'm happy to be here.
Well, it should be fun.
Yes, I definitely agree.
Yeah, well, just to explain to our listeners, Stephen, that I'm also with Psychic Access. I'm a psychic medium, which means that I connect with spirit and provide evidence of the afterlife. And you know as well that I'm very passionate about metaphysics, and particularly hermetics and hermetic astrology. So that's what I do.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Hermetic astrology is a passion of mine as well. How about you, Brenda? What do you do for Psychic Access?
I read the tarot and the crystal ball and the playing cards. I'm a predictive psychic. I specialize in dates, times, and places. Oh, I'm a straightforward reader. I tell it like it is, honey. That's right. No, you know, beating around the bush for me.
Well, I like that philosophy. If you're going to pay to consult with a psychic, then you shouldn't have your ego coddled. You should be prepared to get the truth.
Well, you know, it helps people move forward with their lives, you know?
Yes, I agree, definitely. Okay, well, it's a little intimidating to be around so many talented psychics as yourselves. I definitely expect this to be a learning experience for everybody tonight, especially once we get our guests up here. I'm really, really chomping at the bit to hear what he has to say tonight on the subject that's near and dear to my heart.
He's ready. I think he is here. He's ready to go.
Oh, is Dr.
I'm here.
Dr. Goldberg is.
Hello.
Hi. I think we lost Stephen again. Hi, this is Maureen. How are you? And welcome to our show.
Yes. Are we on the air yet?
Yes, we are. I'm sorry. You know, this is Stephen's first debut show with us, and I know it's kind of hectic for him. But I stepped into it because we've been losing him back and forth. But I thought, well, I'll just step right in. So very nice of you to join us. And I wanted to, because I have here what Stephen was. Okay, here we go. I'm sorry. And I would have introduced you, but it's Dr. Goldberg, correct?
And it would be nice to introduce me to your audience so they know who I am.
Dr. Goldberg. And I know that, like I said, I'm going on because I don't have all the information in front of me. But could you tell us about your background in a scientist and so on, about who you are and what you do?
Sure.
For our listeners.
My undergraduate training is in biochemistry. I have a dental degree and a master's degree in counseling psychology. And I specialize in hypnosis and time travel and things like out-of-body experiences and psychic protection, which is what we'll be talking about tonight. I've written 21 books in my field. My most relevant book to this particular talk is Protected by the Light, which talks about psychic self-defense, how you can actually recognize, diagnose, and treat and protect yourself from the psychic attack of a negative energy in the universe and some people who actually try to attack you. At the same time, I began my career in hypnotherapy with past life regression. I developed the field in 1977 of taking people into future lives. My first book, Past Lives, Future Lives, was the first book ever written on that. And my second book, The Search for Grace, was a documented case of reincarnation that was made into a CBS movie.
Wow.
And it was independently documented by the network, and Richard Mazur played me in it. It was kind of fun.
That's fantastic. Wow, that's fantastic. Wow, you really are something else. I mean, that's fantastic. In fact, I heard the word time travel too, which I'm so interested in that.
Well, I do have, for the benefit of your listeners, I do have a website, which is DR, D as in David, R as in Robert, and then you spell my name, Bruce, B-R-U-C-E, GOLDBERG.com. And on the website there is 5 different exercises that are relevant to this interview, especially the psychic protection from negativity. At the same time, there are videos of actual TV interviews. I do a lot of work with national television. I've been on all the major networks and talk shows, everything from Oprah to Regis to Montel to et cetera. And clips of those are on the website, so they can see that. There are articles on there, and there's also access to my 21 different books, about 110 different CDs they can use for self-hypnosis, including time travel and out-of-body stuff and all the good fun stuff. And the most important relevant topic to this particular interview, since we're going to be talking about psychic self-defense and psychic protection, is I have a CD album called the Spiritual Growth Experience Album. And what this does, it takes you from very simple baby exercises like of psychic protection all the way to spirit guide contact and advanced out-of-body experiences, bringing in your higher self as well as your spirit guides to maximize your protection. Because, you see, the biggest problem we have today, every single one of my patients, everybody in the world today is exposed to psychic attack. It's just a question of degree. It's a question of how they respond to it. So let me just give you the very simple numbers here. 90% of psychic attack are due to normal, everyday occurrences. People whining and complaining about their lives, their jobs, their relationships, their kids, whatever. The media blasts you with commercials that yell and scream at you all the time about buying things, right? or drug commercials about drugs, you know, buy Rogaine with minoxidil and all this kind of junk. Those are actually, they attack you. Those are negative energy projections. And that's 90% of psychic attacks. So most of the stuff is what we call normal everyday forces. Now, these 7% of psychic attacks are due to what we call poltergeists, which people would call ghosts. They're astral bodies, people who have died and crossed into spirit. And they're in what we call the lower astral plane, which is the fifth dimension that's negative, that actually is the source of all psychic attack. And these people or entities don't know what to do. In other words, they just died under, you know, negative circumstances normally. Nobody wants to die. And they're in their astral body on the astral plane, but they don't know what to do. They're in a very bad neighborhood, so to speak. And they will actually attack you, not because they're trying to harm you. They're just reaching for the lifesaver on the Titanic, so to speak. And they will actually attack you very often in sleep, in your dreams at night, but they can attack. And that's 7%. 3% of psychic attacks are due to downright black magic. This is where Hollywood has made its living over the last 100 years. And those are a rare experience. 3% is not a lot, but they're nasty. Voodoo, all kinds of black magic, the South American techniques. Most of this originated from West Africa. Then the very, very minuscule, unbelievably small percentage are what we call demonic attacks. They're very rare. Your listeners don't have to worry about it. They can watch The Exorcist and all the sequels. It's not going to happen to them. But they are real. They have occurred throughout history. And they're the ones that I have a chapter in my Protected by the Light book about demonic attacks and some of the history about that and some of the examples of what that's all about. But basically, your basic psychic attack of the normal everyday occurrences and the poltergeist are actually the majority. It's 97% of psychic attacks. So that's what we're going to be dealing with, is showing you how you can actually protect yourself. First, you got to diagnose it. You got to recognize it. And then you got to be able to protect it. And there are techniques, of course, to do that.
That's fantastic. You know, I've been doing the show from this when we first started. It's our 3-year anniversary coming up, and we have not yet had any on this topic, which I feel so important. And boy, having you is just fantastic, because you know your stuff obviously very well. Well, you're very knowledgeable, and I am real on to this, the psychic attacks, my just personally. So I would like to know, what is it that you can share with us, the best way, first of all, should we be aware, self-aware of things?
Let me talk first about diagnosis. I'm medically trained.
Great.
And first thing you do, you got to diagnose something. If your diagnosis is off, nothing else is going to work, okay? So first, let's just understand a basic historical issue here. The basis of all metaphysical techniques, whether you're dealing with psychic abilities or ESP or whatever you're doing in the field that's energy-based, all comes from shamanism. Okay, shamanism is a source of everything. My hypnotherapy practice is a shamanic division. Now, shamanism began 50,000 years ago in Siberia. And the witch doctors, whatever terms you want to use, we use that term to describe the shamans, they were a calling. They were people trying to heal people. And they were really good guys. They were just, you know, doing their job. It was a calling. They were naturally gifted, probably from a karmic connection, you know, from past lives. But be that as it may, what happened was somebody decided to have the chief's daughter in their tent, so to speak, and they decide to use the very positive experiences of white magic, and they decide to use it for negative purposes, and we call them evil sorcerers, and that's the earth plane source of psychic attack. So this has got a long history. Every culture has psychic attackers. There's always some, what I call, just psychotic losers who decide to control people or to express their anger. But the main issue of psychic attack was two purposes. One was for causing people to commit suicide. I do feel, and I'm not the only one, my medical colleagues, many of them will disagree, but they're not New Agers, but the ones that actually know this field very well will agree that suicide is not natural. We're the only animal on this planet that commits suicide. That's because we're the only animal on this planet that's subject to psychic attack. So the reason why the evil sorcerers and the people in the old days decided to use psychic attack was, if you get your enemies and have them kill themselves, you can just walk over and take over their land. It's a nice, easy way to do it, right? Well, suicide, so to me, is a major example of psychic attack, where people just can't handle life and they kill themselves. Again, not natural. We have a survival instinct. Just try holding your breath underwater and see what happens. You'll rise to the top because you're going to breathe. It's a survival instinct. The second cause of psychic attack was fertility problems. Either you get your enemies to starve to death or not to be able to reproduce by having children, and then they disappear in a generation, and then you can take over their land or whatever they do. So those are the main sources. If you look at today, you notice how today in America today, around the world, but definitely this country, we have more fertility problems than we've ever had in history. More
yeah,
people
I agree.
Have problems having children.
Yeah.
Yep. Think about it. It's not natural. If our species had a fertility problem issue, we would be gone. Okay, you'd have cockroaches taking over the planet. It wouldn't be us. So those are the two things. So let's recognize. Let's deal with symptoms. What are the symptoms? Now you understand. I, as a medically trained person, I have an ethical obligation, and this is the way I do it in my practice too. You always want to separate medical issues from energy issues. Medical means organic. So in other words, if somebody has a disease or somebody has some chronic degenerative disease, obviously you get that treated first by your physician. I'm not trying to play doctor here and just try to practice medicine here without a license, so to speak, okay? But here are the symptoms. Assuming you eliminate all the organic factors, you have your medical tests, they're all negative. Now, these are the symptoms that will show you a psychic attack. Loss of appetite, sexual impotence. Remember, fertility issues is one of the reasons for psychic attack initially. Fevers of at night of unknown origin. In other words, fevers with no chills. Medically, that's impossible, but it will happen with psychic attacks. Depression, that's a biggie. That's a major issue. Remember, depressed people are the ones that kill themselves, not anxious people. And the psychic attackers from days past wanted you to kill yourself, right? A generalized dullness of the mind and senses. Now, I live in California, so you have to separate the environment in which I live from the psychic symptoms, okay?
Yeah, I live in California,
okay.
Too. I get it.
Now, here's a very interesting one. This is, now, assuming a person is a Caucasian and they do not have hepatitis, an unnatural yellowness of the skin is not it's an infrequent, but it will be reported with psychic attack. Sometimes you see like a reddish color to the eyes, not because they've stayed up all night or drank too much alcohol, but just because you see these in bad movies, but it actually does occur. Insomnia accompanied by severe nightmares. Now, you have to understand, when you go to sleep at night, this is medical research. We dream for 3 hours a night. It's called the REM cycle. Now, you don't remember your dreams. Nobody remembers their dreams for 3 hours, but we all do dream for 3 hours. Now, if you have a nightmare where some monster is attacking you or some really nasty thing is occurring, you wake up in the middle of the night, or you wake up with sweat, and you're afraid to go back to sleep because you don't want to go back into that nightmare, that's a psychic attack, because when you dream at night and you actually go out of the body. All dreams are out-of-body experiences. I've made this rather clear in my books. Also, research at UCLA and other universities have demonstrated via experiments that dreams are, in fact, out-of-body experiences. So if you go to the lower astral plane, you're going to be attacked. If you go to the upper astral or any of the other dimensions, all of which are positive, except for the lower astral and this one, then you're not going to be attacked. Now, I'm going to show your audience how to do that. Headaches are also a characteristic very commonly with psychic attacks. Now, this is a real biggie. This is only generated by psychic attack. There's no medical issue that's involved here. And this characteristic or symptom is called the appearance of silhouettes. These silhouettes are like blacker than black shadows of human being, but they're not human. And by the way, I've spoken to ophthalmologists about that. Like if somebody hits you over the head, you see stars, they're always white. Mm-hmm. They're not black. You do not see black things with an ophthalmological or eye disorder. So when you see like a silhouette that disappears very quickly, that's a lower astral entity or a lower level demonic trying to attack you or trying to make themselves known. Some
shadow
people call
person.
Them the shadow,
shadow
people.
Shadow person, they call, isn't that?
Yeah, some people call them the shadow people, right?
Yeah,
that's
right.
One of the other terms
yeah.
for. Another characteristic of a psychic attack is a vast array of unusual sounds. When you change dimensions, there are sounds and colors that are typical. So when a lower astral entity is attacking you, it's going from the astral plane to the earth plane, and along with it, there'll be unusual sounds. Sometimes people hear like chains rattling, things like that. Those are usually more characteristic of more demonic attacks than regular ones, but that can happen. Now, here's another thing, telepathic communication indicating that the victim is going to harm themselves. In other words, some entity is telepathically communicating with the person being attacked for them to hurt themselves or to kill themselves. That's what they want you to do. All communication in the fifth dimension beyond the physical plane that we live in is telepathic. So that's their main mode of communication. And the other characteristic, which is very common, is a string of bad luck. When you look at you take a month out of your life and you may say, well, I got stuck in a traffic jam and somebody, said something stupid to me online at the supermarket. You can map out on a statistical level how many bad things happen to you in a month. So let's say there's 7, okay, just as a rule of thumb. Then 1 month, 35 things happen to you that's negative. That's way beyond the standard deviation. Something is wrong. That's what you would call bad luck. There's no such thing as luck. There's energy, either positive or negative. So if you're having bad things happen to you, if defecation happens, as they say, that's a psychic attack or its characteristics. So those are the characteristics. So what can we do to prevent it? Well, you know, the old techniques you hear about the white light around you and things like that, that's fine. That's a baby technique. And I use that as one of my techniques in my the initial title in my spiritual growth experience album, which is designed, obviously, for psychic protection. But you've got to do a lot more than that. And by the way, what is the white light? You know, you always hear about, everything is by the light. My book is titled Protected by the Light. But you know what you don't see defined very often? Very rarely do you see this in the literature. I'm talking about lay book. These are not written for scholars. The white light that you hear about is your higher self. It's a perfect part of your soul. It's come from the God energy complex. It's creative energy, and it can do whatever it wants, including protecting you from negative energy attacks. So the white light protection is fine, but you also want to balance the chakras, and you also want to do what I call a higher chakras link, where you're linking the heart to the crown chakra, which is the fourth of the seven chakra. That will establish a major balancing of all the chakras, and it will cause major, major protection issues with you, which, of course, is what you want. Now, there are people that also have attached entities. You'll hear about this, and I write about this, too. Attached entities, people say, well, gee, if I'm protected, if I use your techniques, doctor, and you get the white light and you seal up my auric field, which is what you're trying to do, seal it up so you can't have negative energy come in, what about an attached entity? Are they going to be like a splinter in your finger? No. Once you seal the auric field, which is the whole basis of psychic protection, any attached entities are kicked out automatically. They're expelled. So you never have to worry about retaining an attached entity by being protected. That's the way the system is designed.
Right. You know, I agree with this white light business. I remember 20-something years ago, because my personal experience, what you're talking about, I identify with what you're saying. And what I always think about now is actually the white light. We are the God spirit, but also or energy, but putting a container. I always think of containing a stronger
When you see the exercise on my site, there's all kinds of ways. There's like a techniques of having them go through a particular chamber, and you can trap them, sort of like Ghostbusters, you know, where you're trapping the ghost kind of thing. It doesn't matter what technique you use on that. Those are what I call baby techniques. That's all fine. That will work on very simple cases. If someone's got really heavy duty attack on them, which is not uncommon, that's not going to do it. You're going to have to go, you're going to have to balance the chakras, you're going to have to bring in the spirit guides and your higher self, and that's what's more the advanced levels is what I'm doing. So let me give you the big picture first. I have my book, Protected by the Light, spends a lot of time talking about what I call the six-step plan for psychic self-defense. So let me go through that just to give you a big picture. Then we're going to talk about some more fun stuff here.
Sure.
The first level is what we call physical preparation. In other words, you remember when you were growing up, and your mother was telling you about, you know, eating foods and getting plenty of rest. Well, she was right, okay? Get plenty of rest, dress properly, eat your vegetables and your fruits and vegetables, you know? You want to have physical stability to you. And that includes diet and exercise, which is number two. Number three is what we call emotional cleansing. You want to keep away from energy vampires. We'll discuss that in a moment in detail. There are five major energy vampires. I'll go through that in a moment. But let's just keep the big picture. You want to keep away people who are a pain in the neck, people who are really annoying. Get them out of your life as quickly as possible because you're not going to win that game. And they're never going to change, by the way. So that's what we call emotional cleansing. Now, number four is what we call energy stabilization. This is where the higher chakras link comes in. I'm sure most of your listeners are familiar with the seven major chakras on the astral body, folks, not the physical body. If you go to a morgue, no one's going to show you a chakra, okay? It's on the astral or spiritual body. The first one is the tailbone. The second one is the urogenital area. The third one is the solar plexus or belly button area. And if you leave the body at night through any of those lower three chakras, especially the third one, which is the most common, the only place you're going to go to is the lower astral plane. So you don't want to do that. You're going to be attacked by Darth Vader and Dick Cheney for 3 hours, okay? The fourth chakra is what we call the heart chakra. And then there is the throat. Then there is the third eye, which is the sixth chakra. And then just above the crown of the head is the crown chakra or the thousand lotus petal by the East Indians. So any of these four, fifth, sixth, or seventh chakras are the higher chakras. You want to balance those, and that's what the energy stabilization is. Now, after that, what you want to do is you want to raise your soul's energy, the quality of your soul's energy. I refer to this as a technique I developed many years ago called the superconscious mind tap, where I'm introducing the patient's subconscious mind to their perfect counterpart that we call the higher self or the superconscious mind. Superconscious was named by Plato, by the way, 2,300 years ago, so it's got a long history. The last phase is when, and these are for more advanced level attacks, is when you want to bring in the spirit guides. This is what I call the psychic empowerment issue. You bring in the spirit guides, and these are entities that are beyond you spiritually. They were human once. Now they're not. They're in between lives, but they're more advanced than you, so they can work with you. They're not perfect. Some of them are, but most of them aren't. But they're very well developed, and they can help you. They can also work with you in conduit with your higher self. Your higher self is the agent that arranges all this. Now, when you're dealing with psychic attack, you have to understand that once you're protected, suppose somebody was attacking you, and now you're protected. So what happens to the person if they keep attacking you? Because they will. They'll keep attacking you because they're idiots. These are psychotic losers, as they call them, okay? I have no respect whatsoever. They're degenerate people. They're terrorists in their own way. So what happens is the way the universe works, remember, the universe is on our side. Good always beats evil, one-on-one. If they continue attacking you and you're protected, remember, you have to be protected, then they're going to get what's called the shock and return. It literally is an electric shock that will come right back to them and zip them and zap them, and it will hurt. And they will learn very quickly, just like a child learns when he puts his finger on the oven and burns his finger, don't do that. So basically, they will stop attacking you. And the lower astrals have to do that, too, because there's another factor that works in our favor here. Let's say there's most of these attacks are by many or lower astrals, not just one. So let's say there's a group of five or six of them that are attacking you. And now you're protected. Now, all communication on the lower astral plane, as well as any part of the fifth dimension, is telepathic. So what happens is that they have a supervisor they have to report to. There's a hierarchy of the lower astrals. So now let's say they attacked you and they failed because you're protected. Now their supervisor says, hey, Charlie, what'd you do with so-and-so, you know? And they're going to lie and say, well, we attacked her and, you know, we had our way with her. But you see, they can't lie because the supervisor can read their mind. It's telepathy. So if they lie, they're going to be busted. And by busted means they're going to get the crap kicked out of them by their supervisor, and they're going to be punished severely. So there's no incentive for them to fail. Once you're protected, they move on. They move on to somebody else. Believe me, there's over 7 billion people on the planet. There's plenty for people for them to move on to because almost nobody's protected. Everybody's got some degree of psychic attack mentality. Now, the other thing is that when attacks are extreme, I'm not talking about demonic attacks. I'm just talking about regular psychic attacks. Remember, demonic attacks are really irrelevant to the discussion because no one out there is going to have that. But there's when the attacks become extreme, we call this an ECMC that can be established, which is called an emotionally charged mental conflict. In other words, it's almost like a brief psychotic episode where a person can go really off their deep end, and they're not crazy, as some people would like to, but they're temporarily really compromised, really neurotic, and they can be extremely different in their personality, where they're going to lash out, and they're not going to be happy campers. And so you never want to get to the level where an ECMC is relevant, but that can happen if you're unprotected. So you definitely always want to be protected. Now, there is a source of psychic attack which is related to past life regression, and that is that many years ago I was doing a case where this gentleman was a young kid from Europe. He was from a very wealthy family, and he was engaged to get married, and his fiancée was a beautiful young woman, and he couldn't relate to her at all. He just, they were attracted to each other, they were getting ready to get married, and all of a sudden he just... really major problems. What happened was that he was actually being attacked by one of his past lives. We call this a pseudo-obsession. Wow. In other words, the fragment of his past life, remember all past lives, present lives, and future lives are occurring simultaneously. That's the space-time continuum. That's quantum physics. So one of his past life fragments of someone that lived umpteen centuries ago was jealous of him now and was attacking him, and that's called a pseudo-obsession. So let me give you another case of one that's a little bit more relevant to your female audience. This is a woman who I call her Marcia. I describe her in detail in Protected by the Light. And she's from a very upper-middle-class family in the East Coast. She's a very devout Catholic, very religious. She's in her early 20s, engaged to a very wealthy, a Beauregard type, okay? Very, very wealthy, successful, and a very quality guy. So, and I know the family. These are quality people. And she's a very good Catholic, goes to church every Sunday, very moral, just a classic citizen, Okay? All right. Now, what happens is, after over a period of time, all of a sudden she has a 180-degree change in her personality. In other words, she's acting now like a prostitute. She's sleeping with guys at motels. She's drinking, using other recreational drugs. This is completely against her personality. And her fiancé is, you know, he's going crazy with this. He wants her, but he can't deal with this, and he doesn't know what to do. So they come across the country and fly from the East Coast to L.A. to my office. And so I work with her, and I could see right away that this is very likely a case of past life possession, because there are certain characteristics that from my experience, I was well aware of. So what happens, I work with her, and we go back into a past life to the origin of this particular issue. And what happened was, she was a woman living in Martinique in the 1700s. Her name was Jacqueline, and she was a prostitute. Okay, well, her pimp was a guy who was very attracted to her, and she didn't like him. And one fine day, he tried to literally rape her, and she just was objecting and running away and this and that. He eventually kills her, okay? And the murder of her by this guy was stuck with her. And what happened was, the past life personality of Jacqueline was very jealous of Marcia in her 20s. This was the 20th century, occurred several years ago. And therefore, Jacqueline was trying to possess, and she was actually taking over her body. Her personality, Jacqueline, as a prostitute, was the way Marcia was acting. When I did the various protection techniques and all kinds of confrontations and all the things we have to do, it's not really an exorcism. It sounds like it, but it really isn't. You don't need holy water, and you don't need a priest for this, okay? Eventually, the personality became less and less. And the way I got rid of Jacqueline was to give her a condo in the fifth dimension, where she could have her own little place and do her own little thing and just leave Marcia alone. And she did. She left. And once she left, the auric field was sealed, so she could never come back into the auric field of Marcia. And she was gone. And that was like 15 years ago into this case, and there's been no problem. Like I said, I do know the family very well. So that's an example of a pseudo-obsession where a past life personality is trying to possess you. A regular obsession is where a ghost is trying to possess you, and this is an example where, remember, these ghosts are not trying to harm you because they don't like you. It's just that they're panicking because they're on the – when people die, they go to the lower astral plane. It's a given because they die in fear. Society conditions them to be afraid. Religion, you're going to hell, you know, whatever. Everybody dies in fear. So they go to the lower astral for a while. Hopefully not a long while, but, you know, they can be there for centuries. Anyway, obsession is when a poltergeist, a person in between lives, is trying to attack you and trying to possess you. And they don't need your permission for this, interestingly enough, whereas a demonic entity does. So what happens is, this is a case that occurred several years ago in Los Angeles. A woman was living in an apartment building in Los Angeles, one of these old apartment buildings. And in the middle of the night, the bed would literally lift off the ground by about 4 inches and shake. And she was, you know, freaking out. You can imagine what this did to this young woman. You know, she was like a secretary in an office. He was like 25 years old, just freaking out. So she came to me, and we did some work and did some protection techniques. What happened was that the building that she was living in was built in like the 1920s. And one of the people who lived in her apartment many, many years ago was killed by a robber one night. And he was haunting that particular room. And anybody who lived in that apartment, he would haunt. And she was not the only one that he was haunting. Well, I used my techniques again to give him a nice place to go to in the fifth dimension, the upper astral plane, and his presence was able to be removed. But that's called an obsession. That's a ghost, not part of a personality. It's a ghost of somebody's astral body who had a life on the earth plane but now was in between lives, and he was trying to literally possess only because he was just panicking and looking for a way out because he was in a very dire straits. And that's what we call a true obsession.
Right. You know, do you want me to call you Dr. Bruce, or do you want me to call Bruce?
Dr. Bruce is fine. Okay.
Dr. Bruce, we're going to take a short – I wanted to stop there because this is so fascinating. We're going to just take a short commercial break from PsychicAccess.com, and we'll be right back, everyone.
Sure.
Fantastic.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com.
Okay, and we're back with Dr. Bruce. I'm calling Dr. Bruce, but it's Dr. Bruce Goldberg. And all this information is fantastic, like I said, and as Brenda, as well as I have both been, I don't know about what her thing is, but been through some pretty intense stuff a long time ago. So where did we leave off, Dr. Bruce?
Well, we're going to be talking about energy vampires. Now, I mentioned it briefly. I'm going to discuss the 5 different types and show how these are normal, everyday people. When I say energy vampires, they don't sleep in coffin. They don't drink blood. These can be your husband, your wife, your kids, your next-door neighbor, your bosses, etc. So these are what we call energy vampires. Now, before I do that, I want to make an offer for your audience here. The main book that's relevant to this interview is called Protected by the Light. And I mentioned that the most relevant CD program is called the Spiritual Growth Experience Program, which they can see if they go to my homepage or my website, which is Dr. D as in David, R as in Robert, BRUCEGOLDBERG.com. And if they go there, there's many exercises, 5 exercises, and if they order the book Protected by the Light from my site, not from Amazon or anywhere else, I will give them a free fifth dimensional travel CD, which is a CD which will guide them into the fifth dimension out of the body very safely, and they can explore the fifth dimension, have out-of-body experiences, and of course it does include psychic protection along the way. So it's a nice little gift for them, but they have to order the book, mention the show in the offer, because I don't do this normally.
Okay, oh,
and,
great.
And mention the thing. Now, let's talk a little bit about the energy vampires.
Okay.
The first type is what we call the robotic type. This is the main issue with this type is authenticity. These people are denying their true self. During previous lives, for example, they had to keep up appearances of being perfect in order to survive. They were probably, royalty, the elitist types, if you will. They were most likely in charge of running things, so they could also have been like governors or mayors of little villages or whatever. Their outer world is perfect, but their inner world is denied. There is no core. It's almost like a Universal Studios facade. There's no soul behind them. I mean, yes, they do have a soul, but it's very superficial. To deal with these robotic types, you have to become even more, they have to become, in their eyes, more and more perfect. They often will have high-paying jobs, good reputations, perfect spouse, family, you know. They look like they're perfect health, but they're very inauthentic, and they're very depressed, actually. They never attain satisfaction from life. They come across as a blank, as I mentioned, and they function on automatic pilot. And they never complain about the world. But again, they're not happy campers. And your presence with them, by the way, any of these energy vampires, they will drain your energy. You will feel like you were in a boxing match with Mike Tyson looking for your ear after any of these energy vampires, okay? They're not happy campers. The next type is called the ethereal type. And this is one where terror is their main issue. They were tortured to death in previous lives for the metaphysical belief. They were probably psychics or practitioners or healers or witch practicing magic or whatever they were doing. They do not want much contact with others. They're very isolated. They're antisocial. They are afraid to incarnate in their present body when they chose this life. So they're unwilling to commit to anything. They're sort of like, you know, whatever, and they can't make up their mind. They're very, like what I call this, the ivory tower kind of college professor image here. Okay, they very often leave their body during the day to escape, and they function on both withdrawal and aggression at times, but they basically just don't want to be a part of anything. You can't depend on them for anything, and they're, you know, I'm sure people know them in their lives. They're a very common type, by the way. The insecure type is one which nurturance is their main issue. They didn't have enough food to go around when they were in past lives. They were abandoned. So very often they're overweight in this life, making up for lost time. They very often engage you in long, boring conversation, and they speak very softly. You can hardly hear them. They don't want to commit themselves to even vocalizations. The They also come across as helpless. They insist you do things for them, you know. They're compulsive personalities. Can you do this? Can you help me here? Can you do that? They never want to learn anything. They just want somebody to always help them. They're like children in a way. The next type is a really nasty type, and this is the worst of all of them in many ways. This is the paranoid type. Betrayal is the main issue with the paranoid. These are this warrior-like behavior of self-sacrifice and victory in battles. These were probably soldiers in past lives or military types or people who would politically, you know, try to kill their opponents and do everything they can to maintain power. These will always try to win a war, even if no longer the war no longer exists. In other words, they're always fighting. They're always argumentative. They're like a lawyer in court. Okay, they're especially fearful and distrustful of members of the opposite sex. Aggression is the most common response to the world from a paranoid. They constantly pick fights. They can be very seductive, but they're incapable of long-term relationships. I'm sure this is a type that you've all seen. They're very hard workers. They're obsessive-compulsive. They're usually quite healthy physically, but they insist that you agree with their often distorted view of the world. They want you to argue with them. This way they can win the argument and prove themselves that they are good and you are bad and they're superior to you. When you're with a kind of person like this, and there are a lot of people like this, a lot of paranoids around, you never want to argue with them. You want to lower and soften your voice, and you want to change the topic to something more pleasant. And they will usually leave you and find somebody else to pick a fight on. Okay? The last type is called the passive-aggressive, and this is what we call the classic approach avoidance conflict type. This is during past lives, again, they were controlled, they were probably imprisoned, trapped in situations, maybe being persecuted for their metaphysical beliefs. They were slaves or prisoners by either religion or governments or both. In the old days, they were theocracies, of course. These souls absolutely desire freedom, but their fears prevent them from claiming it. In other words, this is a kind of person who will ask your advice. Let's say you're at a party or some social gathering, and let's say you're an expert on wallpapering or whatever it is. They will ask your advice. You will give it to them and say, well, you know, this is how to handle this. And then they'll give you the yes, but. They'll look for every reason why they won't do it. So they're aggressively seeking your advice or to some change in their life, but they're equally aggressively ignoring it and just sticking on with their very often dysfunctional life. So those are the five forms of energy vampires. They're all around. I'm sure every one of those types can be identified by you and your listeners. And you can protect yourself from all of them. They're all preventable because these people, once they see that they can't get their way with you, they'll just move on to somebody else. Okay? Because people do not like to fail. Their ego won't allow that, and it's not very fun. That's what we call those are the five different kinds of energy vampires. There's also the idea of what we call the combinations of the relationship vampirism. In other words, the most common energy vampires are mother-daughter relationships, and husbands, wives are second. But the mother-daughter is the critical one, because women are most influenced by their mothers, especially during the teenage years, than boys are by their fathers. The only characteristic that men copy from their fathers is violence, usually. Everything else, they could care less. Women, however, will mimic and copy their mothers big time, especially during their high school years. So here's an example of what I call a stage mother psychic attack. Many years ago, there was this 14-year-old girl named Charlene who contacted my office. She contacted me first, and the mother, of course, had to approve this. And she was a model, and she acted in commercials in Los Angeles. She's a beautiful young girl, but the problem was that she hated the business, and she just wanted to be a normal teenager. But her mother, Ramona, as I call her, not her real name, would not hear of it. Ramona was a stage mother. She was just pushing Charlene into everything. She pressured Charlene into modeling at a very young age of 5 years old. I mean, she was just, you know, she went to every audition, every event. And so basically, how do you deal with this? Well, Charlene was developing anorexia nervosa. Okay, she was starving herself with all the stress and everything. She couldn't handle it. And I work with her, and as I'm working with her, I empowered her. She wanted to continue modeling, but she didn't want to do the commercials. So I said, why not? You know, it's your life. Well, Ramona, the mother, hated me, of course, because she didn't like the concept of Charlene having a life. The more the distance, the greater the distance between Charlene and Ramona, the more Charlene would act in a more normal capacity. It's almost like Superman and Kryptonite when you have the ability of an energy vampire, in this case a mother, acting very close to the daughter. She would actually drain her, and then she would be able to manipulate her. Well, again, like I say, she continued modeling for a few years, being Charlene now. She no longer auditioned. Her grades improved. She developed a new lease on life. And I saw her several years later. She referred one of her friends to me, who was now in her 20s. And Charlene did fine. The mother still couldn't stand me, but, you know, I'm not running for office here. My concern is for the patient, not for the mother. But mother-daughter relationships are critical. And husbands and wives would be the next one where energy vampires come in. A controlling husband trying to control his wife by purse strings, by money, or the woman trying to control him by sexual favors or whatever, those are the issues that you often see in couple situations. And those become energy vampires. As much as you may not know, people don't want to admit it, but that's what occurs.
Big time. Yeah. All around us.
I didn't hear you.
I said it happens all the time, and I have a big family. I call them crazy makers also. The only way that I can say to anybody, you don't have to be in any type of line of work. They're amongst us, a lot of them in the family. And basically what you can do, I feel, is just manage them, either run or manage.
Well, the problem is, people have a difficult time with their families because, you know, my always rule of thumb is if a person wasn't a member of your family, would you want anything to do with them? And very often the answer is no to that, you know. But they did make a lot of excuses for your family. And I'm not just telling people to dump their families, but you do need to confront them. If you don't, remember, these are karmic choices. You chose karmically to have your members of your family. So if you allow victimization, which is what this is, you're losing the game here. These are energy lessons that you need to – karmic lessons that you need to – to deal with. Since we're dealing with that, I want to discuss a few universal laws, since we're dealing with the universe here. And these are universal laws that were made up by perfect beings, and these are the laws, the only laws I care about. Religious laws and secular laws are just plagiarisms of these, and not very good ones. The only laws I really care about in the world are universal. So let me give you some examples. Here's an example of universal laws. Of course, the law of attraction is a big one. You know, the energy you send out is what you get. If you're a positive person, if you're a happy camper, you're going to have a much more fun life. If you're negative and cynical and watch the news every night and listen to everybody whine and complain, you're going to have a lot of problems. So here are some universal laws, other than the law of karma and some of the big ones. We contain the power and energy of God in the form of our higher self. Unless we allow someone power over us, no other person can truly determine our destiny. See, we control our destiny. It's not fate, it's destiny. We create our own reality through our thoughts, desires, feelings, attitudes, fears, beliefs, expectations, and actions. Our world can and will change when we alter our thinking and also our behavior by accessing the higher self. That's why I always train my patients to connect with the higher self. I call this the superconscious mind tap. Everyone contains the capability in the present moment to change any limiting belief and custom design your own destiny. No past experience or perceived future can limit our spiritual growth unless we allow it to. So you want to live in the now. You can have knowledge of past and future. That's fine. I do that all the time. But you want to live in the present moment and connect with your higher self. Then you're going to win the game here. The energy of the universe moves in the direction we select. This is the law of attraction again. Positive outlooks result in empowered futures. Cynical attitudes manifest as unnecessary struggles. I guarantee you there isn't a listener out there that can tell me about a cynical person in their life that's a happy camper. They're always negative. They're always nasty. Their cup doesn't have a drop in it, and all they do is depress you if you allow them. The universe and all humans exist foremost because of love. When we acknowledge the principle that we are both happy and moving closer to our eventual ascension, we can only do this by accessing the one of the two emotions that exist in the universe. The emotion that causes all the problems is fear. Everything is a subset of fear. The other emotion is unconditional love. Now, I am the proud owner of a miniature schnauzer named Karma, and that's my definition of unconditional love. You want to see unconditional love? Folks, get a dog, okay? They're really cool. There is no one absolute truth or ultimate truth. What I write about, this interview, my 21 books, and everything else you read, I don't have absolute truth. I have a lot of knowledge and a lot of background here. I'm using universal principles, but understand you and your higher self will come up with your own absolute truth. So don't let people brainwash you. Let them educate you, and you can accept or reject anything you want. Truth lies in our own consciousness and the level of our spiritual evolvement. The more evolved you are, the faster will be your path towards eventual ascension. That's the only reason why we're here, is to ascend. Everything else is earth plane caca.
I like that. Caca is right, yeah.
Well, I like to think when I use different techniques, I like to call this my my karmic poo-poo platter of different techniques to help people to grow into mentality. Now, just as a other thing here, too, is that when people send out, let's say somebody really can't stand you, and they're sending out hate energy, these are called thought forms. This is a very ancient art. It's actually part of black magic, too. And thought forms they actually can create, it looks like an entity, but they will disappear very quickly. The problem is the black magic practitioners, these sick psychotic losers, and I use that term a lot because I really don't like them, they will then create, in addition to a thought form, they can actually bring up what's called an ectoplasm attacker. This is very nasty now. I describe this in detail in Protected by the Light. An ectoplasm attacker is an entity that has a life of its own. It's like a thought form, except it doesn't disappear in a couple of days or a couple of hours like the thought form will. It hangs around, and believe me, you don't want to be around with an ectoplasm attacker. They're very nasty. So these are things that can all be prevented. And when you go back in time, you know, some of the things we associate today, you know, like when people get married, they throw a white rice at them. Do you know yeah. why?
Because I remember why. There was one time it brings all the all the good stuff around. It's a
right. It's yeah. a form of psychic protection, just like
yeah,
for example,
protection.
The
wedding, yes.
The wedding veil was used to protect against the evil eye. See.
Exactly,
the
yes.
Charm bracelets were also used. The cameos with the lockets around the necklace or a woman will wear. Those were also done, if you go back historically, and I trace the history in Protected by the Light, you trace the history, it was done because of, you know, during the Dark and Middle Ages, there was massive psychic attack. Black magic was through the roof. You know, they had all kinds of negative theurgies and all kinds of other stuff that was done. And these are examples of modern day examples of actual psychic protection. So this has got a long history here. One of my favorite quotes is from St. Thomas Aquinas, who said, "The supernatural is only the natural not yet understood." Okay, and
right.
you think about it. Look at technology. You know, 150 years ago, if you said, "I'm going to get in my car and drive down the road," people would have probably, you know, laughed at you and kicked you out of the neighborhood. You know, get a horse. So you look at technology. We begin to understand things. We begin to learn things. You know, they become more natural, just like cell phones and, you know, iPads and everything else wasn't known 20 years ago, you know. This is what I'm talking about. But here's an example also of what you can do with what I call indirect psychic protection. I was working with a woman, a mother of an 8-year-old child who was almost like a demonic. I mean, this kid was a really bad kid. He was always getting trouble in school. He was getting sent to the principal's office. And the only problem in the mother's life, my patient, was the stress from him. She had a great marriage. She had a great job, you know, great family relationships with everybody but her kid. Well, you know, you can't just turn the kid in, you know. That is her child, right?
Right.
So I worked with her. I never saw the child. And I worked with her on psychic protection techniques, using the techniques that are in the spiritual growth experience, the obvious examples. And she was a great patient. So one fine day, she's at work. And she's a corporate executive. You know, she's a very high-ranking executive in a major company. And one fine day, she gets a call. And the secretary says, "It's an urgent call from the school." Well, right away, she knows it's about her son, right? So she gets on the phone. The principal and the teacher, the son's teacher, are on the phone on a conference call. And she says, "What's going on? What did he do?" And the principal says, and the teacher are both there. They said, "We'd like to know what medication your son is on." And she said, "Well, number one, it's none of your business. Number two is I'm working with a doctor. That would be me. And he recommended that I take my son off of Ritalin. So he hasn't been on Ritalin in 6 weeks or 8 weeks. It takes about 6 weeks for it to get out of the system." So the principal accuses her of being a liar, which is not what you want to do to this woman. And she goes, "What?" And the principal says, "Look, your son, let me tell you what's going on with your son." She goes, "Please do. What's going on?" "He's a perfect angel. His grades are improved. He sits in class. He pays attention. He's a model student. So we know he's on medication." And my patient said, "Look, let me tell you something. I'll say it to you one more time. He's not on medication. It hasn't been for 2 months. I don't appreciate being called a liar. And if that's it, let him go back to class. And if you call me one more time, you're going to be in court." Okay? So that was it. The point was is that I never work with the son. I work with her. And what happened is her energy, her protection by her higher self was transferred indirectly to her son's higher self, which affected the son's present behavior. So this is called indirect healing here. And
you know, I hate to stop while we're on the roll, but I really, you have so much great information, but I need to, I need to end the interview now. I had so much more, and there's so much great stuff.
No problem.
But it's on the archives, and also we do have your some of your books on your guest page are listed. Also, your website, which is
okay.
drbrucegoldberg.com. But also, you did mention, I want to let people know, you did mention if they, because we have your book also located on our guest page, but if they go to your site, they also would not be getting the same offering that you were offering, right? Is that correct?
Right. If they order the book strictly from my site, not from Amazon or Barnes & Noble or any of the bookstores,
right.
If they go to my site and order Protected by the Light and mention this show and the offer, I'll know what that is, they will get, in addition to the book, which of course are always autographed, they will get a free fifth-dimensional travel CD, which will guide them out of the body. It'll be protective, of course. And they go out of the body into the fifth dimension. They can explore past, future lives, access their higher self, go into parallel universe. They can do whatever they want with the fifth dimension. So that's a free gift if they order the book strictly from my site.
That's fantastic. And I think, well, I'm going to go check that out because I'm willing to that. And I really want to thank you very much. Just so much great information. I know, and the archive will be up about 2 hours after the show tonight, everybody. So thank you so much, Dr. Bruce. I really appreciate listening to everything you said, and I can identify, yes, certainly. And so thank you, and have a good night.
You too now. Take care now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, I think Stephen, are you there? Stephen, we're
yes,
so
hello.
Hello, Stephen. Thanks a lot for letting me take off. I'm just kidding. It was fantastic.
Thank you.
No, thank you. And so, Stephen, this is everybody. And so I'm going to hand the show back over to Steve, and then and you go. You go, guy.
Okay. Wow. It's going to be awfully hard following in the footsteps of that. There's so much fascinating information and useful, too, that Dr. Bruce gave us.
Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed it, from what little I could hear. Unfortunately, I did have some technical problems. Sorry
Welcome
about that,
to.
But I am back.
Please enter
now.
The call ID, followed by the pound key.
No one can hear that while he's doing that. Just ignore it and just keep talking, because no one can hear it.
Enter your PIN, followed by the pound key.
Okay. Actually, one of my favorite aspects of the book, Protected by the Light, was the chapter that he wrote on psychic vampires.
You are now joining the call.
Having a lot of experience with those in my own life.
You
I
are
pretty
unmuted.
Much gobbled that chapter up. And also he discussed spirit attachments, which is a subject that interests me. So I'm definitely going to go back in the archive and re-listen to this one over and over again, because I get lots of clients who on occasion complain to me that they have problems from psychic attacks. So, you know, it's an important issue.
We'll be able to banter all about that, too, after we do the announcements. Did you know that? That's the fun part of this whole show. I know it's the first. Everybody, yay, it's Stephen. He's first night with us. We get to do all bantering, which is about all of our stuff that we can identify with, like you're talking about, which is the fun part.
Awesome.
Hi, everybody. So, yeah, I don't know. Do you have all the stuff you need for the announcements? Yeah, you do. I'm sure you do. The announcements part that you're supposed to do. Hey, you go. If you don't, I'll do it if you want.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know,
how about if what if you flip for it? Am I holding heads? I win. Tails, you lose. Okay. I'll do it. I'll do it. And then we'll get to the banter. And you know, then you've got through it. So and then the banter will come right after a word from me. Here we go. I'm funny. Okay. Hi, everybody in the chat room. I haven't said hello to and welcome. Okay. I'd like to make a few announcements on behalf of Stephen. Be sure to stay tuned to the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics, all of us here. We will announce that call-in number later in the show, so be sure to have your pen and paper ready. You can have a pencil, crayon, whatever. But if you were not able to catch our show last week on, oh my gosh, Brenda. Oh, what was it, Brenda, the name?
You know what?
Oh, Get a Life. Get a Life.
Get a Life. Get a Life.
Get a Life. Sorry. It was a great one.
It was Get a Life, and it was a positivity expert. Get a
yes,
Life.
It was pretty, and I love the title. So if you weren't able to catch that, you know what? You can go to our archives and you can check it out. And you can also check out all the our archives from the beginning of time, because we're up to almost our third-year anniversary coming in a few days. So all the archives from the beginning of time. So go check out that if you'd like. And also feel free to circulate all those archives links and future show details to all your friends and family and your pets and pals and maybe, you know, everybody else that you know that you don't know. Well, people you don't like. Anyway, but we would like to get our, you know, we would like to get our message, because we're really trying to, you know, we're giving back by these great shows we do. Also, please be sure to visit psychicbloggers.com. And, you know, if any breathing was just heard on, it wasn't me. Okay. Site to learn about everything from the paranormal, from the paranormal reincarnation and how to's of psychic development and even more some, and even more than that. If you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified, accuracy tested psychics, and each of us with our own unique gifts. And I don't call them just gifts. It's just like, it is what it is. We all have it. But each psychic has a detailed profile. And not only that, so you can check that out. But not only that, the nicest part that I love about psychicaccess.com is there's videos. You can watch us. You can look at us, observe us, and listen to what we say and what we how we read. It's a little introduction. And I think that's a fine, fine feature right there. So, you know, really, it's been an honor. I've been working with Doug for a long, very long, long, long time, since I was 21. No, I'm not that young. But, and he, because of that, he has very high expectations, and therefore he's required of each psychic, which is very reasonable, and that's why business has been, you know, going as well, very well, and we stayed well. So all the co-hosts here are on Psychic Access Talk, all of them here on TalkRadio.com, all work at PsychicAccess.com. So we'd love to hear from you. And so, by the way, site owners or webmasters, you can earn an extra 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to PsychicAccess.com. For more details, visit PsychicAccess.com. And I'll say right, slash, but, you know, webmasters, I know Doug will say. So if you'd like to show again, please, you know, come on, please tell them to join the chat room. You know how fun it is. I know I have not been in there this evening, and I'm sorry, but I love hanging out. It's fun. We all have fun. It's welcoming. Everybody's really nice, and it's lovely. And listen to the psychic viewpoint while you're in the chat room. There is something for everybody, so spread that word, please. We'd really appreciate it. So now for the call-in number. Now, we all know that I always throw it in there, and I still can, but anybody else in that could also paste it. But it is 724-444-4851. Please note that the phone lines will not be open till around 9:17 p.m. So if you call now, it won't do you any good, because it just won't. It won't. So please wait to call it. 9, and it's Eastern Daylight Time I'm talking about, around 9:17. Okay, and let me see, is there anybody saying something to me like, oh, what you doing? Okay, anyway, here comes our fun time, and here we go. And Stephen, this is all what you've been waiting for. It's called banter.
All right.
Yay,
my banter. Specialty.
Our specialty.
We're in the hot specialty. Seat now.
Now we're going to really, now we're going to let you have it, you know, because it's your first time and all. And you know what? Listen, it's all good. And so, you know, he talked fast, but I kept up with it. I don't understand why people don't get why I talk so fast. They don't understand me. Their brain should speed it up. I always thought. but you know, he had a lot, he got everything out. And I do think, you know, there was some things, but he's been on a lot of, you know, he's very well credited, that's for sure. But, you know, there was one thing I remember him talking about for me. I guess I'm just going to start with me for a minute, you guys, and then I'll go teach a few. But it's all about me right now. But, you know, a long time ago, people would laugh. I don't tell many people. Something very, very badly happened with a situation with me, and it was deliberate from people with black magic. And now, listen, I was just starting out. I didn't know what I was doing. This work is my work only because it must be. It's not that I planned it or I taught, you know, went to workshops. I'm self-taught. But the bottom line is there were some nutcases that heard about – they almost like they heard about me in the town I was living in, and they purposely started – and everybody thought I was losing my mind – except one woman, my dearest friend, believed me. And they, and you know, he said something interesting, because this is what I didn't not know. I was a young, I was all new to whatever was going on with me. I wasn't even doing this work professionally. And I, he said something about, remember to throw it back. He said something about throwing it back. They were coming through my dreams, and I, and that's what I did. I read something and throw back to them and zap them back. And I did. I threw it back at them and took all I had. That stuff does exist. And I'm not talking about the psychic vampires that we talk about in our families. Yeah. That stuff does exist. So anyway, Stephen, I'd like to start with you. What do you think about the interview? Well, your interview, well, you know, your guest.
Well, yeah, I'm glad he talked fast, just because he could cram so much information in the short amount of time allotted to him. So, you know, that's going to really be worth going into the archive with pen and paper handy to take some notes, because all of the topics were extremely important. I think people underestimate how vital it is to avoid all of those who harm our negative immune system and our psychic health. And really, so many people do it without even intending to do it. Our entire society is constructed on just that sort of thing. Look at the television shows everybody watches. Good people watch these shows where the source of entertainment is the suffering of another human being. Now, as a society, that is cause for concern. And as an individual inside that society, I have to start thinking in terms of self-defense mechanisms. How am I going to protect myself, my children, from a barrage, a daily assault of advertisers, so-called artists, and I use that term loosely, who would love nothing more than to undermine our society with, at the very least, vulgar and immoral ideals and philosophies. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. I haven't even started talking about all the so-called friends of ours who are secretly hoping for our downfall or demise, or worse, you know, out and out enemies. So yeah, this is a topic that I think is vital, especially for we psychics.
Especially for we psychics. I definitely agree with that.
Yeah.
And also, we're for definitely anybody susceptible. Else. Yeah, not only that, is it's almost like they can sniff you out what they did. And I wasn't doing this professionally. Like I said, I never thought, I didn't want, you know, have you seen a drug commercial? The guy's running like he's a track star, and it's the police running after him because he thought, and it goes, I never want, no, I wanted to be a drug addict when I grew up. And the police, well, anyway, I never thought this is not what I had planned for my life. It just, it is what it is, and I do what I do because I must. But the thing of it is, I wasn't interested, anyway, it doesn't matter. It was awful what went on and who, but they sought me out. They heard. It's like they, and I was like, flatter me, silly. It's all about me again. But they exist. And, you know, besides the psychic vampires, Brenda, as we all know, the other ones that we know in our, in the families. But Brenda, I haven't forgotten about you, Steve. I'm doing boy, girl. Brenda, Brenda, what's up with you with this? What do you think?
You know, that guy was fascinating, and I, you know, some people might think he's a little far out, you know, but for me, I was practically from the time I could even talk or even was aware of stuff, I was like seeing spirits, and I wanted to do, you know, I wanted to manipulate the energy to do magic. I was fascinated by all that kind of stuff. And so I have for my whole psychic career been, you know, a lot of times stuff like that's come to me, and people who've had very unusual situations that have been under attack, that have been true possessions, all kinds of stuff. And it's like, we don't realize it because we're so focused on, you know, the mundane world in which we live. But that part, the veils are very thin between our worlds and the spirit world and the entities and all of that. And one of the things that he talked about the type of people and, you know, how our past lives, because we are a compilation of all the energies from our past lives and even things that can be brought through from past life regressions and all this kind of stuff. And as far as like the white light and the protection and all that stuff, one of the things that I would like to bring up to the audience and just kind of like make it clear is that when you're in a good place in your life. And because, you know, he told the story of that woman that was in the hotel and then she was attacked and this and that, you know, she might have been vulnerable at some point. I mean, she can experience phenomenon, but true attacks that are really, you know, like you hear about these things, like these, you know, like The Exorcist and stuff like that, which was based on a true story. There's something there. There's an opening for that, that whether it's psychologically, emotionally, or physically, in which that those entities and those energies can attach themselves. I like to call it myself that we all have a protective egg of energy. We're born with a protective egg of energy around us, and if you reach out your arms, it's just, that's how wide it is. You know how like when people get in your space and you can feel it? That's kind of what I'm talking about. And, you know, and so when we are in highly stressed out, anxiety, you have physical problems, you have some mental issues, some emotional issues, little cracks or fissures can allow that to come in. And that's just my philosophy. And he kind of went along with that. And I just think that it's so important to take care of yourself on all three levels, spiritually, emotionally, and physically, because that's where those entities and those energies are going to seek to, you know, disrupt you, be a part of you. And it even goes with the psychic vampires too.
Yes,
which
exactly.
I found downright depressing, you know,
yeah,
because I know many of them.
I know you and I. And
you know what I mean?
I know, Brenda, and we both.
And then you get paranoid. You think, okay, where do I fit in here? Am
yeah,
I one of them? Am I one?
No, you're not. No, you know, Steve, Brenda, thank you. And I, you know, you and I have almost, we're all in a parallel universe here. Aren't we? No, I'm joking. We all, Steve, do you mind me asking about, you had something very uncomfortable happen with you. Do you want to share that with us or not? If so, okay, it's up to you.
Yeah, it was when we were in Los Angeles and you smacked
what?
Me on the butt.
Okay, you know what?
I'm only joking.
I had repellent gloves on that would not even make that happen.
No, I will share my real experience. Well, I've been assaulted by entities a number of times. I remember when my mother moved to her new house, there was always an entity in my mother's house. We had a lot of poltergeist activity when we were kids. All kinds of things happened. I could tell you lots of stories, but the house was built on a burial ground, so no surprise. But there was poltergeist activity in most of the properties on that street or that area. It was quite interesting. But when my mother moved to her new house, I went to stay, and I could tell that this entity had followed her to that property, and I was trying to get rid of it, and it punched me in the face. I've been levitated by spirit twice, by more malicious entities, and then I was involved in an exorcism about 2 years ago, and the entity said, if you continue, I'll throw you down the stairs. And I said, well, go ahead then. And it did. I wasn't surprised. I wasn't. You know, you always face spirits like that with strength.
Strength.
You
yes.
never show, you never go into a situation like that showing weakness or fear. But
never
when I wasn't expecting it to actually throw me down the
yeah,
stairs.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I challenge you. Well, good thing you're still here.
Yeah,
I'm glad you're here with us to at least be tall.
Yeah, you just flipped off Cthulhu there. That was very, very brave.
Yeah.
Steve, what's wrong with you? What is it about you? Are you just a magnet for people wanting to, or whoever this, you know? You just can't. Box. People can't keep their hands off you, whether they're here or there or everywhere.
A little morsel. That's why.
Yeah, you just want to eat him up. Put him in. Yeah, Steve, you know what.
You'll find, Stephen, the girls are very flirtatious.
Ah, well, there's nothing wrong with that.
No,
I would like to say this. The thing that impressed me about the novel, The Exorcist, though, was that what it really is a detective story. A great deal of that novel and movie is spent trying to figure out the nature of the attack, the nature of the so-called spiritual assailant. And it's not taken for granted by the order of priests that there is a demonic possession. There's a great deal of scientific evidence that the church has to sift through before they render a possession valid in their eyes, and a lot of phenomena such as telepathy, telekinesis,
really,
the Catholic Church rejected that.
It's really problematic, Stephen, because it's very rare for the Catholic Church to acknowledge that somebody is demonically possessed. And
right.
There are many different forms or levels of possession, and also you have to rule out mental illness, or the church wants to rule out mental illness. But the problem is, I mean, there are people who don't suffer any mental illness who have been possessed, but they're often combined. And I know of a colleague who was in charge of a mental institution, you know, one of these old asylums that was ultimately closed down. And he said that there were all kinds of spiritual issues in there, because severe mental illness is something that lower entities prey upon. So it's quite a gray area, and it's often hard to prove that there's no mental illness, and it's extremely difficult to have the Catholic Church particularly acknowledge and deal with a possession. It's very hard to get people help on that front.
Right. But that's the thing that fascinated me about it, was where to draw the line between a mental disease, a mental pathology, and a legitimate psychic attack, as it were. And it just amazed me the things that the Catholic Church would accept as physical phenomena that they would accept as evidence of a mental disease, things that the layman would just say, wow, that's out of this world. You know, the levitation of the bed, for example, the Catholic Church, in the book at least, you know, they said that's not evidence of a possession, Father Karras. You got to go bring us more evidence. And really the thing that pinned it for them was the ability to speak a foreign language that Reagan, the girl who was possessed, had never been exposed to before. And I just marveled at that. Really? I mean, after you know, peeing on the carpet and saying all those nasty things to the senator about how he's going to die up in space and the bed jumping all over, really? That's what it takes?
That is one of the accepted criteria when a person speaks in foreign languages that they don't speak.
Very interesting.
Okay,
but
guys,
I hear what you're saying. But yeah, there's very stringent criteria.
Okay, guys, you know, enough is enough. I'm joking. you were getting really good.
That's right.
But I just wanted to let people know that we have come to the part of the show where we will be taking your calls. California, one moment, please, because Steve will be taking your call. But I just want to let people know we'll be taking your calls to answer questions. You can either call in or ask a question in chat room. However, we do need to take the call in first due to their wait time. And the call number is 724-444-4851. And please be aware that each call will be automatically be placed on hold and will be answered in the order received. So just relax. You'll be able to listen to the show while you wait. And we'd ask that you be very clear and direct with your question. We can, because of our time restraint, of course, we can only take one question per person. And this will allow us to give you, you know, a reading that would maybe be very helpful. Okay, Steve, call. California. Yay.
Great. Who's calling from California? Hello, Rafaela. How are you? Very well. Very well. Thank you. Oh, wonderful. Well, we'll have fun, and it's great to have you with us. How can we help you, Rafaela? Okay, I'm drawn back just under 2 years, Raphael. I'm actually drawn back about 21, 22 months ago. And my guides make me feel strongly that that's when your confidence took a real knock. But I feel as though in the last 21, 22 months, you've really made a lot of progress. I feel as though you've spent quite a lot of time alone reflecting and learning to enjoy and love yourself, which is what we need to do. So I feel as though you're well on track. My guides also say, I'm not sure why we go back to May of last year, but it seems as though from May last year, you had a real breakthrough in terms of clarity about the kind of person you actually want to be with, and real clarity about saying no or not getting involved with somebody if they don't meet the criteria that you set for a relationship and a partner. So you've done a lot of the good work, and I feel as though you're going in the right direction. I feel actually very drawn to next year. Earlier in the year, I feel that in February you will be in a relationship, but you're doing the right things, Raffaella. The one thing my guides say to you is continue to get clarity about the person you want to be with. Mm-hmm. And really,
I've been trying to focus on that more and asking myself what I really want, and just being genuine about it. So I think you're definitely on target with just, I've been really trying to focus on what's really good for me and weeding out the good ones from the bad ones that come into my life.
And I tell you what, astrology, real in-depth astrology, is a brilliant way of not only understanding oneself, but determining the astrological criteria in a really compatible match. I know Stephen Lewis on the show is very interested in astrology. I am as well. And
yes,
we're big fans. So you, for example, you're the descendant in your chart indicates what you need in others, but there are many other criteria. You look well together, etc. So you can actually, if you contact me or Stephen Lewis on Psychic Access, we can actually send you a full natal chart analysis for yourself. We can send that to you by email. Yeah, and it's a really great report. And that can be used for you to understand yourself, but also then to understand criteria from your analysis in a really compatible partner. So you're looking for spiritual compatibility or harmony, physical compatibility and harmony, and intellectual compatibility and harmony. And if you go onto psychicbloggers.com, there's a blog under my section specifically on relationships and astrological criteria. But you're well on the way, Raffaella, and I really feel that by February of next year you'll be in a great relationship. Okay?
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for all your guidance.
You're welcome. Good luck, and thanks for listening, Raffaella.
You're very in tune with me. Thank you.
Great reading, Steve.
My pleasure.
And I'm sure she got a lot from that. That was very good. I did, too. I got some very good insight from my own. Sometimes that happens, like a little added feature, isn't it, when you get something really back from it. So do we have any other callers right now? Okay.
They need to call back.
Yeah, they need to call back.
Okay, please call back, because there was a little bit of a technical stuff, you know, that we on the West Coast aren't having, but you people. You people, I'm sorry, Brenda and I are fine because we have no tech.
Okay, just wait until your state separates from the rest of the union and sort of floats off into the Pacific.
I'll be in the Vegas where I was born. And waterfront property. I live down at the beach right now, but I'll get waterfront property there, so there you have it.
Yeah. Oh, good idea,
Look, I'm a dolphin anyway. I'm a human in the water. Well, after this reading, I'm to say, please callers, call back. Everything should be working correctly now. But in the meantime, if we want to talk about Stephen.
My favorite topic of conversation.
Inquiring minds want to know about what you do.
About what you do. Yes.
Are you a tarot reader or what do you do?
Yeah. I am, like my colleague Steve, I'm also a student and practitioner of Hermetic astrology, and I what I try to do is incorporate symbolism of astrology into my tarot readings. I found that this unlocks a deeper layer of interpretation that I was never able to reach before. And tarot and astrology, I have to say, are my two main tools. I haven't found any reason to use any other tools except for those. They've got me where I need to get to in life, and especially the practice and the techniques of horary astrology, a fascinating way to understand not only the background mechanics of any situation, but also how they're going to play out in the future. The raw predictive power of horary astrology is just so useful and a gift to humanity from
the
superior
universe. Oh, looks like I have a call. I have a call.
Yes, you do. You do. And I've seen that. Okay, yeah.
Sorry, Stephen. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, she did. She did it.
Quite all right.
No. Brenda from North Carolina, and also it looks like things are getting work in North Carolina.
Hi, North Carolina. This is Lady Brenda.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. What can I do for you this evening? What you need?
I wanted to know if I'm on the correct career path that I'm supposed to be choosing.
Okay, let's take a peek here. Let's take a peek. Well, it feels like lately it's become pretty difficult for you and you're kind of discouraged. Are you kind of like stuck right now? Are you feeling stuck?
Yes.
Yeah. And then because you're stuck, there's just like all these other things buzzing in your brain, like, well, maybe I need to go here, I need to go there, da 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 da.
Right.
But what I'm getting is that if you stick on this path, I mean, it might not be exciting right now, and what you're doing and what you're learning might not be, you know, you feel like, what am I doing here? This is going to end up being very prosperous, and I do see success around it. In other words, it's not time to jump into something else because it feels like this is just a challenge. It's a challenge, and it's going to prepare you for some other things. But what's at the end of the tunnel is prosperity and really getting to a place that you really enjoy your work and and then there's a purpose behind your work.
Okay.
There are a lot of, you know, personal stuff that's going around and a lot of pressures and stuff like that, but you know what, that's all the time with anybody anyhow, you know. What it is now is rising above some of these things, even that have few weeks that have been kind of like you feel like maybe somebody's, you know, you're not being fair with you, or some things happened that, you know, that weren't, you know, on the up and up. But really, you just need to rise above this because the path looks clear for you to stick to this, is what I see.
Okay.
Yeah. Is it in your heart? It feels like at one time that this career path was in your heart, and I don't believe that this will go away. I feel that you're just a little bit, you know, discouraged right now.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Hang in there. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brenda. And we have a caller for Stephen from Massachusetts. Stephen, there you go.
Hi. How are you doing? Who am I speaking with?
Sometimes you have
this
to ask a couple
Krista.
Of times. Sorry.
Hi.
Krista, you said? Hi. How may I help you this evening?
I have two questions, but they are quick ones. The first one is I just started a new job a week ago. I just want to know if it involves a lot of travel or will I be able to stay local? And the other thing is about my father, when will he find his new job?
Okay, well, first things first. Will your job entail a lot of travel? One second while I shuffle and cut my tarot cards and we'll have an answer to your question. Will her job entail a lot of travel? No, I like to shuffle and cut three times due to the mystical connotations of that number. And here we are on cut two. Will she have to travel a lot with her job? And finally, cut number three. Okay. Okay. I'll lay out our cards and we will have our answer. Will she have to travel on her new job? On this job, will she have to travel? Yes. Yes, yes. No. Ah, you will have to travel on this job. Definitely. In fact, we have here one of the more powerful cards is Arcanum number one, which is the Magus. Due to its association with Mercury, the planet Mercury, short trips are definitely called for. I don't really see anything pertaining to international travel or overseas travel. It probably would be continental, maybe even within your own state. But there's no doubt the planet Mercury rules over short trips. And the Magus is an individual yourself here who has to use all the resources and talents at her disposal, and apparently communicating, traveling, definitely part of those talents. On the card, there is a bird, an ibis, in fact, and it represents the need to always be on the alert. Mercury is forever alert. And so that's one aspect of this job that you're going to have to make peace with, is that mentally you're going to always have to remain focused. Also, we have several cards here that are of the coins suit, the suit of air, the eight of coins especially, pertaining to Gemini and the signs of Libra. This also refers to not only traveling, but profiting through travel, so traveling for money. The only danger sign, the only fly in the ointment, as it were, is the major arcanum card number 18, representing the moon. It's reversed, so its negative effects won't be quite so hard, but it refers to moodiness, changeability. So that's also supporting the idea that you will be traveling a lot with this job. So it looks like you better pack up your suitcase. Now, you asked about your father as well. Maybe we can squeeze that one in real fast. You want to know about his job as well, right?
Yeah, when will he get his job? Actually, I don't personally like traveling, and I was hoping that I wouldn't have to do a lot of travel. But if it entails travel and it's for my good, then so be it.
Sorry, it looks like it'll be kind of hard to avoid, but it shouldn't be too give you too much of a hard time. It shouldn't be too excessive, but you will have to do it, unfortunately.
Okay. And I just wanted to know, when will my father get a new job?
Let's see if I can ask that very quickly. Will her father get a new job? One moment. Let me shuffle and cut these cards. Just a second. Will the father get a new job? One. Will the father get a new job? Cut two. And finally, shuffling cut number three. Will the father get a new job? Okay.
Nothing, sorry.
Almost. Just about ready for our answer here. Ooh. Ooh. Unfortunately, it looks like he might have to wait for that new employment. I'm very sorry to bear some bad news, but the tarot says now's not the right time for him. I'm very sorry. It's not looking good for him getting a job anytime soon.
Talk like that,
I go,
you crazy.
Just tell him to hang in there and continue to send off his resumes. Hello?
Yeah?
Okay, thought I lost you there for a second. Yeah,
hello?
Going through the next month is going to be difficult for him, unfortunately. Perhaps because the economy in general is bad, but also perhaps because his motivation is going to be at a low. We have to reverse ace sectors, which is ace in the fire suit. It tells me that, you know, he doesn't have the drive quite. I mean, he's motivated for sure, but maybe he's a little blue or a little upset because of past failures, because he got rejected for another job in the past. So right now, I think his spirits are a little bit low. Once he starts feeling better, his motivation is going to have a lot to do with this. But yeah, also where he's at, the local economy is kind of bad. The Ten of Coins represents a loss or gain that's alternating. So unfortunately, the career situation is not quite as stable as it should be for your father right now. I'm really sorry about that.
So So when will it become stable? Like, that's my question. Like, when will he find a new job? Not next month, but when?
I would expect not until at least the summertime. So before June, I would definitely say no. After June, it's looking much better. The Ten of Coins, which describes the it describes the instability in his job energy right now, that card is, it pertains specifically to the springtime. So after spring, the chances are much, much better that he'll find employment after spring. And that makes sense, because a lot of companies, they redo their budgets in the beginning of the summertime, in around June. So it could be with a company redoing their budget, they'll have extra money for an extra position, something of that nature. But for sure, the rest of the spring is going to be a bit of a challenge.
And this travel that I'll have to entail, is it actually good for me, or is this some sort of, like, in my previous years, like, my job was good, I was laid off, but then I found this job with a higher position, and I feel that it should be for my good, but it actually calls for a lot of change in my routine. Will I be able to manage all my responsibilities properly, or will this travel take its toll on me? Like,
well, first of all, the traveling will definitely be good for your bank account. The Eight of Coins is undeniable. One of its most common meanings in my system of tarot is profit through travel. So, A, it's going to be good for your bank account. Now, the number eight, numerically speaking, it deals with balance, okay? So absolutely, you're going to be able to balance your other responsibilities. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to enjoy balancing it. The tarot is not promising that. The tarot promises, it suggests very strongly that you'll have everything you need. You'll have what it takes to balance everything in your life going on. There's no doubt about that.
And will this job be good for me in general? Like, I've been wanting to start a family, but, you know, I haven't been able to. But will this job actually allow me to do that, or will this travel not allow me to do that at all?
I'm saying that it will, simply because of one card, Arcanum card number one, the Magus. Now, that card, it is all about using everything available to you. It's all about mastery of different levels. It's all about multitasking. Do you see? So what the tarot is saying is that you're going to be the magician here, the Magus. You're going to be the Arcanum card number one. You're going to be the one balancing the elements of earth, which is your job, the elements of cups, which refers to your romantic life, and also the energies of your money, etc. You're going to be able to balance all of those things. Then the job is going to be good for you. You'll make money, even though you have to travel. You'll still make money, and you'll probably make extra money for those times when you do have to travel.
Okay, so I'll be able to do whatever I want then this year. How long will I have to travel? Like, is it for good, or it is just for a couple of months and then it will slow down?
Right. It's not going to be permanent, but you will be asked to travel. Perhaps it's just for training on a new new piece of equipment or something new at your job. Perhaps it's just for training, but I don't think it's going to be permanent. No, I don't think it's going to be permanent at all.
Okay, so then I have hope. Like, it's just a short-term thing. I just have to go through it, and then I'll be all set. Then the heaven will give me what I need not to travel and still make good money.
Oh, yes, ma'am. It's going to be good for you in the long run, this job. Whether or not you stay there, even if you don't stay there, you'll learn things on this job that will serve you in a future job. So you're going to be in good hands.
Okay. Thank you so much. And for my father, is there anything I can do?
Well, unfortunately, there's not too much anybody can do right now except wait it out. It's just not in the cards for him to be employed within the next month or two. I expect things to improve for him around the beginning of the summertime. So until then, the best thing you can do is just support him as much as you can, support him emotionally, and just have faith that things are going to swing back your way, his way, pretty soon.
Okay. Thank you so much for your time today. I greatly appreciate it.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling in, and I wish you well, okay?
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Stephen. And you know, I wanted to tell everybody, it was a great reading. And normally we wouldn't read that long. As I mentioned, we just didn't, you know, I want everybody to know it's not like she's got the longer reading. But unfortunately, TalkShoe that we used crashed. And that is why we're not able to get into calls. So, Stephen, you were able to give her a real long reading. And so sometimes, once in a while, that happens. And some other people get once in a while that might. But we don't like it to happen. So please try next week to call in. We do apologize. But like I said, I can't. Well, I'm sorry for everything in life because it's always about me. You know, I control everything. I'm sorry for the weather.
It's your fault.
You know, that's what you call major dysfunction. I see therapists. Okay, so the bottom line is, but it always gets back. Everybody's talking about me at the dinner conversation. We all know it. So I'm the one who messed up talk to you. Anyway, I think I just wanted to let people know, oh, so sorry. So what we're going to do is just going to chat for a little bit. And, you know, do what we do. And then, Sarah, I have a show next week. I think you all will find, well, the name of it's very interesting, who she is. But I'll wait for a few minutes to get to that. In the meantime, Stephen, what do you think about the late? I know it's your first night. I know it's kind of like you got to have a momentum. Blah, 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 blah. You need to know how to talk. But we all seem to have a good time here. And all of us, Brenda and I being the girls, and Stephen and Steve being the boys. Is that how it works?
Yeah.
Boy, good boy. It's nice, and we must tell you that, you know, you do need to respect Brenda and I of all things, because we are your elders and much older than you, and we know much more.
It's in our hands.
But not five.
Exactly. And that's
not five.
Yeah.
Submit both of you.
Anyway. I submitted long ago.
What do you think? What do you think? I know that, like I said, and maybe this was a blessing, you know, really. You can introduce yourself to people like you have. Like, hey, hi. And also, kind of know the momentum and the script will be better. You know, we don't use a script. We're all just like, we're just too cool to do that. Some of the announcements are new to you. I mean, we put an event together, everybody. We do a lot. Don't you, Steve and Brenda, don't you think we do a lot to get the show in place? Our third year anniversary is coming up. It's cool.
It takes a while to get in the swing of it, but once you do, it's pretty good. You know, it works. You know, it's pretty smooth.
It is, and we all have helped each other, Stephen. Steve picked up for me where I couldn't come into the picture of doing my guest. Steve, thank you for all the times you did. we all do that. Yeah, in the fourth year, starting next week, which is my show, and okay, it's all about me again. I'm the only original one from the show out of all you guys, okay? All about me. I'm going to have a crazy witch dance tonight on the beach. No. it is our fourth. You know what? When Doug said fourth, we're starting our fourth year. It's actually, we were 2009, May 13th. And that show, I can remember, and so Stephen, no, that show was interesting because our guest, we couldn't get our guest on the phone. Ooh. And that was our debut. But it was quite different how the layout was. But the thing is, it will be starting into our fourth year on my show, which will be the next week of the 16th. But I did like interviewing your guest, and I think that we all love that topic. I mean, I think we all have been through that, and if people don't think it's real, it is, in all sorts of ways. So, Stephen, have you ever been he was talking about these people, shadow, and I call them shadow people, and he knew exactly what I was talking about. I said, the shadow, he goes, yes, and people call them the shadow people. Have you ever seen the shadow people? Have you ever seen that?
Oh, yeah.
It's really, I do not dig those people. I'm not afraid, and I don't believe in anything. You don't know me that well. I don't. All I know is what I know. Shadow people, they're greasy, grimy entities.
Yeah.
It's like they bug me, and once in a while I've seen him. But when he was talking about that, I go, oh yeah, and they're called, they're dark they're the shadow people, but I, some people call them other things. But I cringe, and I've gone to a shaman before, and I remember him saying that I had some work done, and this was years ago. Brendan, Steve have heard my story. He spit on me. They sprayed
the
stuff.
Oh, mercy.
You know, well, shamans, you know, they do a certain thing, and they spray the flower. Flowered water. Smells good. But, you know, it's more like luging on. Anyway, he said I had a greasy witch someone in me. And, you know, like I said, I'm open to everything. All I know is what I know, what I experience. But I start going, ew. And then I start thinking, shadow person. And I don't know.
Yes.
He's a shaman, but he wasn't. Well, you know, he was a shaman, but he was a learned. Sometimes I think it's better to go to the real, authentic. I don't, you know, and it was, he was taught by, he had blonde hair. I'm sorry. He had blonde. Listen to me. I'm just being terrible. So anyway, what else do you guys want to talk about? It's free for all. Go for it.
Well, what interests me about tonight's topics is how the psychic attack manifests in the body and how it manifests in real life. I have an informal theory, a working theory that various forms of abuse, sexual abuse, pedophilia, bullying, for example, in school, I tend to think of these things in terms of an evolutionary perspective where the offender is trying to victimize the person's ability to be, and especially in the case of children, they're trying to victimize the child so that when the child grows up, he or she won't be as effective and as whole an adult as he or she ought to be. And this form of psychic attack, I find altogether, it's the most odious and the most odious kind, the most dangerous kind, the most hateful kind, simply because it overspills the boundaries of the mind and pushes out into the realm of reality, and it hurts people. And so, you know, I'm just amazed at the dazzling variety of ways that psychic attacks can manifest in real life. And, you know, people don't pay enough attention to concepts such as psychic hygiene and psychic immunity and things of that nature. So I was glad to see Dr. Bruce get up here tonight and share his considerable talent and experience with the rest of us. I was really excited. We're talking about a man who has authored over 20 books on the subject. We're talking about a man who has a firm background in the physical sciences, which I think is just really wonderful. So I've read his book, Protected by the Light. It's a wonderful book. Excellent chapter on psychic vampires, excellent chapter on various techniques from advanced to beginners, techniques that you can try and do at home and you can use to protect your loved ones. He's got a wealth of audio materials that you can listen to that will help you. And so it's really worth it to go over to his website, drbrucegoldberg.com, and see what he has to offer. I really respect his intellect on these matters. Well, he taught me a lot too.
Yeah, no, I think he, and you know, he's been on our bill. He was in everything, I know, and he did talk a lot. I have a problem with that because I do. But everybody, I really would suggest, because he had some very good stuff. I absolutely think so, and I wouldn't just say that because I listened to everything, and I think check out the archives because you'd have to stop it, which you can do when you go to the archives. You'd have to, you know, put on, you know, stop, pause, or rewind forward, whatever you want to call it, rewind. But it was excellent. It was an excellent guest that you got. And it was Stephen's, you know, this was his first time hosting, anchoring, and he got a fantastic guest, and I'm giving you the clap.
I appreciate that. I've always wanted. I crossed that one off my bucket list.
Not that kind of clap, okay? A different kind of clap, okay?
I do declare.
You gotta specify that, Maureen.
Jeez.
Okay?
No, I did it on purpose.
Well, you know, I thought I would jump in because he is a tender young thing.
I know that's right. We gotta be
you, Brenda, for sticking up with me. That's right. You know, the young ladies are gonna corrupt me. Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I know. You know, Steve. Unless you have something saying, I think Doug's out. If we should close up the. We're gonna close our doors, don't you?
We're out of here.
I'm gonna talk about next week what our show is. For next week, well, the name of it will just. grab you hold of you and you want to come, okay? So, are you ready? You know, I live down at the beach, okay? We hear the Harleys. Sorry, that's, I can't do anything about those guys, except when I hang up, I'll run after them. Go, hey, give me a ride. All right. Honestly. Okay. Well, next week's show, I'm anchoring, or maybe I won't be able to. Something will happen on my end, and Stephen, you're going to have to step in. And it's with the psychic psychic sexologist is the theme.
I'll step in for that. That would be
no, this is the first time. And you know, the thing of it is Dr. Rahm Weber is her name. And with her, she's very interesting, and she's very credible and everything else. But before she discovered her mediumship abilities, she first pursued an academic career utilizing another healing gift, which is her ability to help people feel comfortable discussing their sexual concerns, and completed her training, earning her PhD. So it's kind of fascinating. But, you know, in a lot of ways, you know, in a lot of ways, what she's does the healing and all that, it all kind of fuses. We're all kind of all fusing together, aren't we? I mean, in a lot of ways.
Yes.
So it shall be an interesting show, I feel, and I hope that you can make it to it. If not, just the idea of where the Harleys you can hear, sorry, you guys, in the background. So there you have it. So I hope you come back next week, and we will be here next week, and it will be going on our fourth, like Doug said, we'll be starting our fourth year starting on my show. Da, da,
wonderful.
Da, wonderful, darling. So I say goodbye to you all. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Good night.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.